Blog Talk Radio.
So cut us a check.
I'm trying to tell y'all, God has never made a mistake. He's never made one mistake. All right? So it ain't about one place. It ain't about nothing. This year, we did what we were supposed to do. We fought as a team. We fought as a team. There will be one Super Bowl champ crown at the end of this year. That's it. So the way we feel, somebody going to feel like that tomorrow, and somebody going to feel like that in a week. That's a fact. And the fact is, we got to come back and go to work to make sure we finish it next time. That's all we got to do. Joe, you played your ass off. You hear me, man? I'm telling you, man, don't ever drop your head when it comes to a loss, dog, because there's too much pain outside of this that people really going through. This right here makes us strong. Let's understand who we are as a team. Let's understand who we are as men. And let's make somebody smile when we walk out of here. We got an opportunity to keep going, man. Let's be stronger as a team, man. Let's be who we are. Ravens on three. 1, 2, 3.
Ravens.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot
blood
commander.
Yo, Ray Lewis, my uncle.
How you want to end a 1 or 2 hour show and get the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4th of 26th, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, everybody. It's Thursday, January 26, 2012, and we'd like to welcome you back to the roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me at the roundtable are the generals of sports talk, Kill Bayon, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. Tonight, we'll be talking Super Bowl, the death of a legend, Peyton's future, and a whole lot more. We want your take as well, so hop into that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call into the show on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012 and talk to us that way. So before we get into it, we want to give a shout-out to our radio partners. Check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you love good sports talk, and if you're listening to us, I know you do, then you'll love the Broad Street Line. So right now, after Uncle Ray, we're just going to get into these birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
What's up, fellas, man? What y'all think about that speech from Uncle Ray Lewis?
Sometimes I wonder whether it's idol worship. That's all I'm going to say.
He's ridiculous, dude, man. Like, I'm about to hit somebody. I don't even want to do the show no more. I just want to go tackle people.
Yo, I'm telling you, Ray Lewis, Brian Dawkins, and Coach Eric Taylor from Friday Night Lights, the series, not the movie. Yo, those three strangers that they can lead me in the battle. I don't care if we was down the projects with knives and sticks, or if we were in a war on the battlefield, or if we were just in a bar.
Those shout out to Coach Eric Taylor, man. You know what I'm saying?
Tell us the truth, man. All right, but we're going to get into these birthdays real quick. Birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. It's 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Our first birthday today is one Mr. Gerald Green.
My birthday, yay!
Gerald Green turns 26 today. Kill, what do you think about when you think about Gerald Green?
When I think about Gerald Green, well, first of all, if I'm not mistaken, he was one of the last players to be able to get drafted out of high school along with Martell Webster, and it's sad that both of them have done cabbage in the NBA. I mean, they were both first-round picks. They both had promise, and Gerald Green was a freak of an athlete, and he won the slam dunk contest in the NBA, but other than that, the Lakers cut him a few weeks, about a month ago, so it's just sad that he hasn't been able to translate his athleticism to being a great player.
Yeah, speaking of Martell Webster, out of the two of those guys, I actually thought Martell was going to do something. He was contributing a little bit, and then I don't know, I think it might have been injuries that started taking its toll on him. And like you said, right now he's pretty much cabbage as well. Austin, what do you think of Gerald Green?
he was the first to me athletically that was bringing the light skinned brother back, and they didn't get it right that time. So, you know, he's talented enough and young enough to where we probably will see him several more times in the league, but you got to question whether he can put that talent and skill all together to really be a contributor. And Martell Webster's all right to be a bump.
To be a bump. Yeah, and Gerald Green, you know, he had the hot dunk where he blew the candle out or the cupcake that was sitting on the rim. Jimmy, what do you think of? You think of Gerald Green?
I think of low test scores, illiteracy in the inner city. First off, the reason why, you know, he had an issue with going to college wasn't because he didn't get any offers, but academically he wouldn't have been able to qualify. He had some academic issues. I mean, he had academic issues that kept him off the high school team. So,
damn.
You know, but
the boy didn't go to class since, like, ninth grade.
Yeah, so, you know, my man got kicked off of junior varsity for, like, academic issues. So, man, you know, he ain't worth my breath, man. Let's move on.
All right, well, with that being said, our next birthday is one Mr. Vincent Lamar Carter. Vince Carter turned 35 today. Austin, what do you think when you think of the name Vince Carter?
Contrary to people's belief about me, I actually don't dislike Vince Carter all the time. In fact, when Vince Carter is in the air, which is very rare these days, I love his game. But when Vince is on the ground, yo, he's just
What was that nickname you gave Vince some years back?
The highest jumping human trash can, man. The highest jumping human trash can. And
man,
I'm gonna tell y'all factually, this is actual fact. There's several brothers on this show that have better handle than Vince Carter, and Vince is in the league.
Oh, that's not a surprise. People out there know what the boardroom dealing with. Jimmy, Vince Carter.
The only thing I got to say about Vince Carter is, and y'all can get into that what y'all want to.
Q, Vince Carter.
I remember it was one time where some people were saying that he was better than Kobe. I remember that.
Think about it, though. Think about it, Kill. As many people that don't really mess with Kobe like that, how many people have come through the league in Kobe's 16 years that people just tried to say they were better than Kobe, and they probably went home not really believing that?
Exactly. And also, T-Mac, Stackhouse. With Vince, oh, man, so much could be left on the table. Like, when the first thing I thought about after doing the topic on Gerald Green, I was thinking a rich man's Gerald Green is Vince Carter. There you go.
A rich man's Gerald Green. Gerald Green, man, you got to be a real poor man if you got a rich man.
I know.
Yeah,
yo,
Vince Carter, I always thought Vince Carter was a little bit overrated. You know, as the years has gone on, he's established a real nice jump shot, and I never really understood why somebody so athletic settled for so many jump shots. But, yeah, Vince, when he put the ball on the floor, it was always an adventure. And a lot of people lost limbs and lives. It just got real wild, kind of like reminiscent of a bowling alley or something. But we're going to move on. The next birthday is one Mr. Wayne Douglas Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky, the great one, turns 51 today. Jimmy, you remember about Wayne Gretzky?
I remember Wayne Gretzky literally being bigger than the game of hockey. I mean, that's not hard to be, but still. But his nickname says it all. Like, how great are you when your nickname is the great one? Like, yo, that's a crazy nickname. Boy's name is the great one. And, I mean, I think that pretty much sums it up in terms of what he means to the sport.
Yeah, kill Wayne Gretzky. Oh, with his Tina shout out.
Yo, he also reminds me of NWA, by the way. But go ahead, though. Go ahead, kill.
Yeah, that's all I got. He's the great one, hands down.
Austin, Wayne Gretzky.
Several things. Like, number one, yo, I'm a big Wayne Gretzky fan. I don't know if y'all noticed, and I don't even know anything about hockey, but dude is just so nice that I'm just a fan for basically no reason. And remember when him and Michael Jordan and Bo Jackson had that cartoon?
Yo, I remember vaguely, but I didn't watch it. Sound like you watched it. Sound like you were a fan. What was it, a Saturday morning cartoon or something?
Yeah, it was a Saturday morning, you know.
Yeah, that jumped in for a week.
Michael Jordan and Wayne.
Did it come on the same time as Courageous Cat?
I can't remember.
Yo,
I'm not.
I used to watch Courageous Cat Minute Mouse. They used to come on at like 6:30, 7 a.m.
Yeah.
I used to be up watching that joint. All right,
Courageous
so
Cat Minute Mouse.
My last birthday, his birthday is actually tomorrow. One Mr. John Matthew, better known as Matt Stover, turns 44.
My birthday, yay!
All I got to say about Matt Stover is the Ravens could have used him on Sunday. Jimmy, what you got to say about Matt?
That's all I was going to say. I was going to say that if Matt Stover was playing still, then Baltimore possibly. As a matter of fact, he still is where he at now?
No, I think he's done.
He is done. You know how I know he's done? Because he was. I think he moved back to Baltimore because he had some kind of non-profit thing going on a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, he is done. But
his phone probably rang a couple times on Sunday.
Yeah, he was money from like 40 yards in. He didn't have a long leg, pause that, because I remember this from fantasy. He never hit anything over 50 yards, but, you know, 45 and in, he was money.
Did he miss or did they just not try him?
Well, the thing is, they said they ain't trying because he probably couldn't even reach the field goal post.
Because in practice, he was, yeah. All right, Austin, hang on. Y'all got anything on Matt Stover? Or should we just roll?
Nice kicker. That's all. He's a kicker. Who cares?
Yo, I got something. After seeing the game last week, I think if they had Matt Stover, this wouldn't happen.
Just a bit outside.
All right, well, there you have it. So that's it for your birthdays today, and Jimmy's going to tell everybody what happened this week while y'all were on the grind.
Absolutely. While you were on the grind, it's brought to you by Philly Auto Design. To find more information about Philly Auto Design or to get anything done to your car in terms of rims or anything like that, visit PhillyAutoDesign.com or go to WarhorseSports.com and look for the Philly Auto Design icon. It's right in the middle of the page. The first story I want to talk about is one Alex Ovechkin. He's suspended for 3 games for his hit on, what's this guy's name, Zbigniew Michalek, the Czech Republic. And he pulls out of All-Star game because of it. So basically, he got suspended, and because of that, he says, I'm taking my football and I'm going home. I'm not playing in the All-Star game.
You know what, though? I don't really know if I'm mad at him because, you know, they're going to suspend you for 3 games. Your suspension runs through games that's through the All-Star game because
mm-hmm.
that's this weekend. You know, but then they're going to ask you to suit up, lace up, and put on a spectacle for the league to make money. I'm like, man, no, I'm suspended. I ain't going anyway. But here's an interesting little nugget. The dude, he probably shouldn't be in the All-Star game, and I think he knew that because he actually had a vacation plan for this weekend. So when he made the All-Star game before he got suspended, he was talking about how he had to cancel his vacation plans to go. So I'm thinking now he never really canceled those plans or, you know, he easily got them back since they suspended him. Man going to go down to Cabo or something and get it in for the weekend.
Yeah, no doubt.
They used to talk about dude in the same breath with Sid the Kid, but Ovechkin kind of seems like he's falling off.
Yeah, he did. He mm-hmm. definitely. The boy's been in the league several years, and he still got one move.
But did he get paid, though?
So does Vince.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's making diesel
money.
Because, you know, he was, like you said, he's a two-time MVP. He's considered the top or one of the two top players in the league for a lot of years. So he's definitely paid. And, you know, he probably got a nice trip set up for this weekend.
Yeah, no doubt. Kill, you got anything on this, Kill?
Yeah, only thing is, it's interesting that Ovechkin's falling off and Crosby's career might be over or augmented because of his concussion. So somebody else needs to, like, step up and be the man in hockey.
looks like.
You're not trying to be
man,
a homer.
Get my man Wayne back, man. Get my man the great one back in the game.
Not trying to be a homer, but Claude Giroux from the Flyers is that level of a player. So, you know, he could be the next face if Crosby's head not going to let him finish the job and Ovechkin's weight, because dude came in the camp, like, way overweight and out of shape. So, I don't know.
Ovechkin is like 280.
Ain't nothing but a cheap stack.
I think he's about 6'2". So, at any rate, let's talk some more hockey. The Bruins goalie, Tim Thomas, he skipped the team's White House visit. Any thoughts on this?
Yes, sir. He released a statement. It's not a lot, so I'll read it real quick. This is his reason for skipping. He said, "I believe the federal government has grown out of control, threatening the rights, liberties, and property of the people. This is being done at the executive, legislative, and judicial level. This is in direct opposition to the Constitution and the Founding Fathers' vision for the federal government. Because I believe this, today I exercise my right as a free citizen and did not visit the White House. This was not about politics or party, as in my opinion, both parties are responsible for the situation we are in as a country. This was about a choice I had to make as an individual. And this is the only public statement I'll be making on this topic." So he basically explained himself and told everybody, FOH.
Fight the power.
Now, normally I don't go the route of the BP, but I do have to ask Tim Thomas, and I know that he's not going to answer me. But if it wasn't Barack Obama in office and it was George Bush, you would skip the trip.
Well, he already kind of answered you in his statement. Whether I don't know if he's telling the truth or not, but in his statement he said it's not about politics or party. So it's not because the dude is a Democrat. Well, he didn't really say it was because dude might be black.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's a blackocrat. A blackocrat.
I don't. You know what though? Like, I mean, that's his personal preference, and if that's really what it is, I'm good with it. But I'm like, you know, I have issues with a lot of things that's done in America. I don't really like claim a particular party. You know. But you
respect the office.
No, yeah, I respect the office enough that it really doesn't matter who the president is. I would love to meet and shake hands with the president. I don't care if it was George Bush, Barack Obama. It's the president. I'd love to say I busted up with the president for a few minutes, because politics aside, you know, everybody's still human beings, and you never know how cool these dudes can be, even though you don't like their politics. George Bush is a dude that I can hang out with.
I'm pretty sure that we could have got W to listen to the war room.
Yo, real quick, though, I mean, the FBI is now trying to monitor social media. What that has to do with this story? Nothing. I just felt like saying it. But only way I would have went is if Barack would have told me he wanted to check it up. Man, we could have checked it up. You know what I'm saying?
I'll bust Barack ass. Everybody be on this.
A lot of FBI wants to monitor the war room due to Devin's comment.
He seemed like a competitive dude. If it gets to him, he I'll bust Barack ass.
I heard from a reliable source that he's a lefty, so he can shoot, but he's also super dirty, because at this age his athleticism is betraying him a little bit, but he still don't want to lose, so he get his hack and his chino.
And he spends a lot of time in the Midwest. You know how they play in the Midwest. The Midwest, they play like dirtbags. It's like clever cheating.
Hey, yo, back to the I was going to say back to Tim Thomas. Like, first, when I first heard it, when I heard the soundbite, I was like, oh, man, you know, he's not going there because Barack is black or because Barack is a Democrat. But then when I heard his statement as to why, he made it as if, regardless of who was the president, he wasn't going to go. So that kind of made me respect the stance more. But I'm wondering if it was just the politically incorrect thing to say just to cover it up, or, you know, if you really felt like that.
The politically correct, incorrect thing to say.
Said,
I don't even know,
like,
I don't even know what you mean at that point. I'm going to leave it alone.
I heard Tim's been tied to the Tea Party.
Yeah, did you really hear that, or are you just trying to start something right here?
I mean, you know me, so.
What the hell that means? Slandering the book.
Wait. You just said what the hell that means? That's what I'm thinking about, his statement. What the hell that means?
Yo, anyway, man, let's move on to the next story. Let's talk about the Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, Jerome Simpson. He was indicted on drug charges. If you remember, Simpson is the guy that did that flip at the end of the season. And I ain't talking about, you know, his drugs either, but he made a flip literally.
Yo. Oh, hey. I don't, what's up with it, man? We talked about this with the other dude. Now, I'm going to read to y'all what they found him with, and you guys tell me whether or not you think he was trafficking or if you just think he was stacking. They said he's indicted for trafficking in more than 8 ounces and less than 5 pounds of marijuana. So they said, but the indictment comes nearly 4 months after the feds confiscated a package containing 2.5 pounds of marijuana that was shipped from California to Jerome Simpson's home, you know, 4 months ago.
If you got a
pretty big entourage, you're an athlete.
Yeah.
2.5 pounds.
I'm gonna keep it real and try not to indict myself. Yo, man, that was with him being who he is and doing what he does. That was for personal use, man.
They did say that first raid the first time the feds confiscated that stuff, they found scales and packaging materials in his house. But still, if you got a big entourage, you know, sometimes y'all want to take some on the road with you. So, I don't know.
Chill smoke. I mean, Dr. Bayon, do you want to?
No. The crazy thing is, I'm wondering why, Sam Hurd was moving a lot of weight, but, I mean, you're getting weed mailed to your spot. Like, these guys can't. Why are you moving it? Why not have one of your homies pay him to move it or something? It just doesn't make sense that these guys are getting caught red-handed with so much weight. Now he's going to go from having the best play of the year where he flipped over dude for a touchdown to possibly facing some time, unless they hit him with the what's the running back from the Ravens? They let him serve his time in the summer.
Jamal Lewis.
Unless he pleads down to lesser charges and he does a summer like Jamal Lewis, but, yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yo, I'm sorry, y'all, to go back to the last topic because I just looked up something else and what's his name? Tim Thomas, he did make another statement saying why he didn't go to the White House, and here it is right here.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and said they were suckers.
Now I mess with Tim. Tim, you on my team, yo. I understand totally.
Yo, this is funny, Jim. While we're doing the show, our line is ringing. Also, I let the voicemail pick up, the War Room Sports line. Somebody might have told Barack what I said.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm sorry, Mr. President.
You want to check it up, yo?
Or he gonna get me whacked or something? I don't know.
Move on to the big story, man. I want to hear what you guys' opinions are on this. Kobe settled with Vanessa Bryant, $75 million, and 3 mansions. She gets 3 mansions, not one, but 3. $75 million of his supposed $150 million net worth.
Damn! Yo, this reeks of, and I heard a little bit of this. I heard that, you know, Vanessa has a lot of dirt on him. So, you know, you make the kind of settlement to some of that stuff is hush money. Because why does she need three mansions? These are 3 estate properties, like. The one that they were living in, the one that they just completed, having built, and the one that her mom was already living in. So I guess Kobe's just going to get like a 1-bedroom apartment. In
I heard Kobe getting an efficiency in Old City.
Yo.
What could she possibly know? We already know that Kobe likes to take snow bunnies and hit them in the rectum. So what could be worse than that? Like, what does she know? That he has to say, yo, just take this and go.
Man,
she already put his numbers out there. So, yeah, what else?
Whatever she knows, if it's that bad that it costs $75 million, I don't think I want to know it about Kobe. I'm cool, man.
You don't want to change your opinion.
It's already bad enough that we got to see Michael Jordan walking around here in major damage than FUBU. I don't want to know. But I will say this, and there's some background on that settlement and her strategy. It's been kind of put out there that her mom is known as a gold digger because Vanessa's dad comes from a little bit of money. I mean, not Kobe Bryant-type money, but Vanessa's mom took her dad to the cleaners and got him for a couple M's. So she basically gave her the game. And
yeah,
I think that was speculated.
Her step-pop, not her pop, her step-pop, but they got took into the cleaners.
Got took into the cleaners. Well, some male influence in her early life. And it's been speculated that Vanessa's been out of love with Kobe, if she ever was in love with him, for quite some time, but she took it to that 10.5-year mark so that she could make her money. It's been a, you know, she's making about $7.5 million a year. Plus, he could have done it anyway.
She could have literally told him, like, yo, I'm done with you. I'm just waiting 10 years. What's he going to
do? I mean, these guys who are athletes, they're stupid for cheating on their wives, one. But for two, you know, Kobe to not have a prenup, you know, when you went out and grabbed the chick straight out the high school, you know, it was kind of stupid. Because you do wonder, like, what do these women do? And I know ladies are going to be upset, but what can you possibly do that's worth $75 million, $160 million, ladies, we want to hear.
We definitely want to hear from y'all on this 323-410-0012. What can you do that's worth $75 million?
Kobe about to lose 150 M's. Kobe, my nigga, I hate it, had to be him. Bitch, you wasn't with me shooting in the gym.
Bitch, you wasn't with me shooting in the gym.
and there you have it. And the only woman that I don't want to hear from is Karen Steffens, because there are some things that she can do that may be worth 75. But
hold on, we better move on.
We got 75. Like, come on, man.
Yo,
I want to know.
Hey, real quick, what's up with arguably the two best guards ever to play the game, arguably the two best scorers ever, and yo, these women just be, like, taking them to the cleaners. Like, you know, it was said that Michael Jordan was set up from the beginning by his wife.
You can't have everything.
Yeah, I heard I heard Juanita was a groupie from jump. I heard she used to – first of all, she used to date Reggie Theus, so she was already around the team. But I heard she used to be waiting outside Chicago Stadium for the dude on the hood of his car and all kinds of stuff like that.
So Mike took Reggie Theus' his chick and his job.
And further, I heard that when Mike popped the bun in the oven, he was trying to roll, but James and his mom was like, no, that's not how we get down. You got to marry her.
Yeah, that's that.
So Mike's parents made him marry him. All
right, yo, we're running way behind.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Shout out to Vanessa Bryant, man. I know it's a lot of our fans in the war that are out hunting for you right now.
Yes. So right now it's time to pass that rock. Pass the rock is when all of your hosts get to vent on their chosen sports topic of the week. So, you know, I'm not going to explain it too longer, but, you know, since I'm playing the point guard, I'm going to go ahead and bring it up today. Well, I don't really have anything serious to vent about this week, so I was going to sit here and tell you all for 2 minutes how much I'm irked by Chris Paul's weak haircut. I was going to tell you how his evens are never really even, his hairline is usually crooked, and his beard is a couple inches too thin. Then I was going to mention how he always has a haircut, unlike most other NBA players. So this means his barber must be a living. Then I was going to tell you how that scenario would be even worse, because if this is the barber you carry from city to city, from team to team, you need a reevaluation of what a good haircut is. But then I decided that I wouldn't spend 2 minutes on this topic because I realized that a lot of you out there probably hold low standards for your wig split games as well. Y'all probably think his cuts are tight, and y'all might get offended by my commentary. And I damn sure wouldn't want to offend nobody. So I'm going to just go ahead and pass the rock to my man, Dr. Bayon.
Yo, yeah, that's wild, Chris Paul. It's amazing how a lot of these guys can have these deep pockets, but you know, not get a tight cut. So it is what it is. But, hey, War Room family, tonight I just wanted to talk about a particular snub that took place with the Pro Bowl. As you all know, Eli Manning was in the Pro Bowl along with Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, hands down, NFC, and even in the whole league, had great years statistically, and their teams won big, except not in the playoffs. And Eli, he threw for 4,900 yards. Now, when it was found out that Eli Manning was going to make his way to the Super Bowl, he needed a replacement. And off the top of my head, I thought, wow, you know, the fourth-rated passer in the game, or Tony Romo will probably get selected, or maybe even the fifth-rated passer in the game, Matthew Stafford. But they went all the way down to the 15th-rated passer, Cam Newton, who, mind you, had a great year, one of the best rookie quarterback years ever, threw for 4,000 yards, 60% completion percentage, broke the NFL record for rushing touchdowns. But at the end of the day, when it came to quarterbacking, Tony Romo and Matthew Stafford had far more success this year. Now, if the NFL wanted to come in and say, hey, we want to boost our ratings, so we're going to bypass Romo and Stafford and therefore select Cam Newton, I would have been cool with that. And now I'm also wondering if maybe Mr. Cecil Newton has something to do, hey, if you guys get my son in there, you know, kind of like how he did in college. So with that, I was just disturbed by that pick slash overlooking of Mr. Romo and Mr. Stafford. And with that, I will fake the pass to Brad and pass it to Jimmy, JW the Blueprint.
Yes, sir. The Pro Bowl is a joke. I know my man Sleep Number PJ already said something about the Pro Bowl, but it's a complete joke. And also, in terms of what Dev said, Chris Paul looks like he got a left-handed barber. Because he cut his track. This is Jimmy, a.k.a. the Blueprint. And I really don't have anything to say, but I have to make a statement. I want to apologize to Darren Williams of the New Jersey Nets. And I'm going to tell you why. I've always called him the best point guard in the game. But honestly, I forgot just how good he was. Probably because he plays for that dreadful team known as the New Jersey Nets. The Nets haven't been good since Common played for him, and that's not real life, so you can figure it out. I mean, unless Scott McKnight had game, but the rest of them dudes, I don't know about that. Although in that movie, they seem to play the Orlando Magic like every game. Anyway, Saba. But last night at the Sixers game, I was at the Sixers game, and I watched Darren Williams completely abuse the entire backcourt. When they switched on him, he embarrassed the forwards. He embarrassed everybody in the arena and, you know, pretty much let me know that he still got game. Although at times he plays kind of sluggish, but when I looked at the other four guys around him, I see why. The Nets stink, but Darren himself, he is a great player. And I just want to apologize to him because he is the best African-American player to ever lace him up. So hopefully he gets out of that rotten team and gets back to a contender where I can, you know, then again watch him play on TNT or watch the NBA ticket, because there's certain teams in this dreadful league, even having the NBA ticket, that I will never watch. New Jersey Nets being one, Charlotte Bobcats being another. And I'm going to leave it at that because I'll be going for another 5 minutes if I tell you all the horrible teams in the league. That's all I got for y'all this evening. I'm nice. And with that, I'm going to throw the rock to my man Sleep Number PJ so he can get something off his chest.
Yeah, man. Yo, Chris Paul Barber is definitely Southpaw, cuz. Straight up. He's not coming orthodox with his Clippers. All right, I don't really have a rant today. I just want to extend my sincerest and deepest condolences to one Mr. Terrell Eldorado Owens. Dog, I recently read an article that said that my man T.O. right now is running out of money, has very few friends, we know he's out of work, and apparently he's going to court for child support with the mothers of his four children, four kids, four baby moms. And when people like his close friends text him, say, T.O., what's up, where you at, dog? Apparently, according to this article, he writes back, I'm in hell. Hell? Yo, this is a guy, yes, and that's not an exaggeration. This is what he's really responding back to people. This dude used to be my favorite player back in the day. You know what I'm saying? The dude that I knew was going to get 100% out on the field, was going to bust it, was going, you know what I mean? They played theme songs in Lincoln Financial once he scored, and now he's in hell. So I just want to extend my condolences, man. T.O., I hope everything works out for you, brother. I hope you get it together. I also heard a report that he's supposed to be playing for an indoor football league that plays on a hardwood floor. It's really that bad. Say that. Again, that's not fabrication. So all I'm asking is, my man T.O., keep it together, dog. You strong, man. Stay away from them pills and keep it together, El Dorado. And with that, I'm going to throw a no-look, one lazy eye like Biggie pass to my man B. Austin, and I hope it get there because I threw it to the side with my lazy eye.
It's cool. It's cool. I'm used to catching passes from my man Stu Scott. yo.
Damn.
T.O., oh, man. I still think he got it. I think there's more left in the tank. I hope somehow, you know, this experience for him is God, you know, humbling him or whatever, and he get back out there because I'm not a hater. As far as Chris Paul, you need to go see Lightfoot. And if you don't know who Lightfoot is, find out. Yo, I just want to tell everybody, the Knicks are back. To all our listeners, fans, friends, family, and we do got some family, Facebook participants, especially those of y'all from New York City, the Knicks are back, man. And when I say they're back, I mean they're back to being some bumba clot garbage. Now, the problem with y'all squad is there's absolutely no point guards on the roster besides Baron Davis. Mike Bibby literally is playing on no legs. Not one leg, no leg. He's just, the tank is empty, and it hurts to see that because I'm a fan of his. Tony Douglas, Iman Shumpert, and Landry Fields are not point guards. So what does D'Antoni do? He initiates the offense through Melo. Melo, next to Kobe Bryant, is probably one of the most efficient and deadly offensive weapons in the NBA. And he can take on that role of point forward in spurts. But he's not LeBron, man. He's not a three-quarter, bring the ball up, pass it around, distribute type of team. My man is a killer. Let him get the rock and kill. He needs a point guard to initiate that offense. And as far as Amari Stoudemire, I got to say, have some pride. I mean, I know that you're not getting the rock where you're used to getting it. You're not getting the touches that you want, but darn, homie. Yo, you're averaging like 7 points a game right now through this last, I don't know, 5 or 6 games. They're terrible. Take heart, New York Knickerbocker fans. Take heart. I know that Baron Davis isn't what he once was, but I still think that he can play at an almost elite level. And with that, the Knicks may have a chance to win the Atlantic next year. With that, I finger roll with the left hand, real pretty, right arm behind the head like they do in D.C., up off the glass, the buzzer goes off, we win, I blow a kiss to the cheerleaders, tell them to meet me back behind where, you know, the bus is at so that my homies can get some chewies. All right, and I'm done.
Crowd goes. Yo, you got it, PJ.
B, I like how you said so your homies can holler at them behind the bus. That's what's up. Being safe in the crib. I hear you. Anyway, yeah, let me tell y'all how y'all can get in touch with us real quick. Y'all can check out our website, warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, then click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair and Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can always sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter account. Excuse me. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So to call in and speak with the host, just dial the Digital Extreme hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is just like raising your hand, so raise your hand and we just might call on ya.
Raise your hand if you're sure.
Yo, Pete, I'm laughing because a couple of Twitter comments, they were laughing about the Stace Keenan song with Kobe and Vanessa, you know, about her shooting in the gym and whatnot. But anyway, couple quick things. I don't talk about the if your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit audibletrial.com/warroomsports, and in no time you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the same time. A lot of great sports books. Right now I'm listening to that Shaq book, listen to Shaq slander everybody. So, you know, go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Real quick, rest in peace to one Joe Pa as Joe Paterno passed away, lost his battle with cancer. Me personally, I don't have anything to say because this story is, like, sad on so many levels, you know. And there's really no way to even talk about this, you know, without bringing up all that stuff.
Yeah, I'll just keep it quick. It was one of those things where you knew it was happening. Even the day that it happened, you know, you knew that he was about to go. He called his family around to his bedside and everything. But, you know, when it happened, it's still kind of crazy. Like, you know, I feel really, really bad for Joe Paterno and the way he had to go out. Like, the last thoughts a lot of people have about him aren't the thoughts that they should have after the career he's had and after all the stuff that's happened for that community up there. You know, I just feel bad that it had to end the way it ended because of, you know, some other cat being real nasty with his. But rest in peace to Joe Pa, PSU.
You know, I'm a huge Joe Paterno supporter and fan. And I just think that, you know, to echo the sentiments of Devin, it's very sad that the last major memory that's left of Joe Paterno and you know, a part of his legacy will be, you know, what has transpired at Penn State over the course of the last 6 to 7 months. I think there's a cautionary tale, and that cautionary tale being no matter what station you are in life, if you choose to do nothing or choose to take the easy road, even, you know, if you're not a direct participant in wrongdoing, there's a strong possibility that karma will come around and bitch slap you in the face. And that's kind of what happened with Joe Pa. I mean, he did the minimum, you know, that he was responsible for legally, but could he have done more? I mean, only he and his God know that, but his legacy definitely will suffer. Justly, maybe, maybe not. You know, I'm still a huge fan, huge supporter, but it is a sad, you know, he died essentially of a broken heart. PJ, Jimmy, I know we talked about that. He died of a broken heart.
That's
heart.
Why I didn't even want to get too deep into it because, like, you know, that turns into a long debate. So we can keep moving. I just wanted to say,
remember, we all said this way before this scandal hit. Like, when he's done with coaching, we figured that he was going to die. Like, that's what he lived for, that Penn State.
Yeah. And, you know, because of that jabroni, now he's forever linked with him. I mean,
right.
His funeral is on the same day as his birthday, even. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, man.
I got something real quick. Hey, real quick, I wanted to say, the more I've been finding out about Joe Paterno's character, as people go back to interviews or time spent with him off the record, you know, I'm starting to get more of the picture that one, he just didn't know in terms of all he knew was football, church, books, school, and that was it. So when that situation came to him, you know, he said he felt inadequate. So he was like, all right, guys, this is what one coach told me another coach did. You guys handle the situation. Let me go back and coach. And then that was it. So I kind of feel bad for him in that sense. They're saying, like, maybe he wasn't that – maybe he was too – had too much tunnel vision where he didn't even care. He didn't watch TV. He didn't read the newspaper, all these different kind of things. So,
yeah, I would say real quick, all the accounts that I hear of him from people that are coming out from, you know, young men that were either mentored or coached by him, apparently he was a really good man. So I just hope that this doesn't define his career because he has a long history of doing good things. So hopefully this doesn't just diminish that. But we'll see.
All right. Rest in peace, Joe.
Yeah, RIP Joe Pa, you know what I'm saying? Last quick hot topic I want to bring up is the Tigers. The Tigers back the Brink trucks up to bring the homie Prince Fielder. 9 years, $214 million.
Yo, that's a lot of money.
You can't even say that with a straight face.
Yeah,
no.
You can't say it.
I like to see I like to see fat ninjas getting it. That's all I can say.
Tigers bringing the fat cats back between him and Mickey.
I don't, Jim, I don't even know if there was another suitor out there who was willing to go even close to
there
that
wasn't.
Number.
There was.
Like the Rangers wanted to do like 5 years with some options in it, but you know, that
and
was
that's the thing. Like
that.
The 9 year part is the thing about it because you know that's a lot of. I mean, he's younger than Pujols, so, you know, a 9-year deal, you would think makes more sense than giving one to Pujols, who will be over 40 when his deal is over. But this dude might be over 400 pounds when his deal is over.
Woo!
Right.
You know,
right.
Fielder, he never really comes into training camp, I mean, not training
in
camp,
shape.
Into spring training in shape. I mean, and that's just him. That's what he does. He's just a slugger. You know, you think about him, you think about Cabrera, who's up to like 280 now. They're going to have like a 1,000-pound infield.
It's funny you mentioned that,
infield.
Dude, Dev, because a lot of baseball pundits are kind of saying, like, these two dudes, the only thing you could have them do is play third base or DH. Whichever.
No, they're going to move Cabrera over to third
base
because he started as a shortstop. But that was a long time ago and a lot of pounds ago. Like,
whichever
they're going to have a lot of
errors here. Whichever one goes to DH is the guy that's going over 300 pounds.
Well, neither one of them are going to go to DH right now, but, you know, by the time this contract is up, if he's not sitting on the bench somewhere, he'll definitely be a DH. I think they were saying, like,
yo, it's funny how nobody's mentioning that he may get his weight under control. Like, nobody's even giving him a shot.
Has he ever had his weight under control?
He's never proven
it. Yeah, but he ain't never had 200
pounds. He's never proven he can.
He already got the dough now. If he earned the dough without doing it, then why do it now? You already got the dough. It's guaranteed.
This is true, but this is what separates the good from the great. You know what I mean? Some guys get the money and then want to, you know, improve. Other guys get the money and say, you know, I'm Derek Coleman.
If he was a football player, I might give him some credit because I'm like, look, you got to earn the end of that contract.
Shout out to my man Prince Fielder for getting that bread and not working out, man.
No doubt.
Put no work in. He got that bread, man.
Yeah.
Him, man.
You should just tell the muscle bound dudes, look, man, I'm just good. I don't know what you are. I'm just good.
It worked so hard.
He probably walked past the weight room in the clubhouse and laugh at everybody that's in there. They all strong and broke.
I got caught up a bill with me.
Did any of y'all see the highlights when he was a teenager and going there with his pop and he was hitting the home runs and he was like, matter of fact, he was like 12 years old. He wasn't even a teenager. He was a 12-year-old coming taking batting practice to the Tigers and he was like knocking joints out the park. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I forgot about that. He is at his dad's old club, even though they don't mess with each other anymore, so.
I don't know
how sweet that is. It probably had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with the 214 million clams he got.
They said his pop was smutting everything that moves, and you know, he took his mom's side when they broke up, so that's why they don't really mess with each other.
He sure is pop.
Cecil was pop, but he probably got a lot of brothers and sisters out there that ain't from the same mother. Put it like that. Cecil was doing the same thing. He was riding around. He was getting it. Anyway,
All right.
Go ahead, Dan.
All right, that's cool. All right, we're going to talk about some NBA, but before we do that, I'll let you know that the NBA segment is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phone. The latest episode is always available for you, no syncing needed, and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen, or download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. All right, fellas, NBA Players of the Week. You know, during the season, we do this every week. So we got Dwight Howard and Gasol. But it's not the Gasol that you would think. It's Mark Gasol. Now, Dwight Howard, he averaged 19.5 points, 18.8 rebounds, and 2.8 assists, and 2.8 blocks last week as Orlando went 3-1. Gasol led the Grizzlies to a 4-0 week. He averaged 19.5, 9.8 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and 2.5 blocks. Man, everybody who was talking all that mess about that trade a few years ago, this dude might end up in a year or two being the better Gasol brother. You heard it here first. He tougher than Powell. And he not as crafty as Powell, but he's tougher than Powell.
Yo, I almost got knocked out yesterday.
Shout out to Dwight for taking rebounding way more seriously than the last guy that had the Superman moniker on the basketball court.
He found a way.
Shot at Shaq.
All I want to say about Marc Gasol, the difference is Marc Gasol was actually raised in the States. Once Powell became a professional, he moved him over here. So Marc Gasol went to high school in the States, and you see the difference in his game.
Yeah, the toughness factor. But, you know.
Marc Gasol, yeah, he grew up eating pork.
Marc got a little bit of skill with his game, too.
No, he does. He has a lot of skill. But I'll take a tough European over these American big dudes any day, because they're already way more skilled than the big men coming from America. So if they're just as tough, man, that's a win-win right there.
Yo, cats must be soft on you. I'm about to go over there and just start mugging cats. Yo, they
just,
soft.
Just the whole
man.
Country, but it's cool.
The whole country is soft. And it smells like hoagie.
Europe is a continent, bro.
But yeah, how about that? I didn't say country, didn't I? My fault. I'm geographically challenged, but yo, I'm going to go over there and start.
Yo, did y'all hear Shaq call Ricky Rubio? He said he was going to call calling Ricky Rubio La Pistola, the Italian Pete Maravich.
Oh,
yeah, Michigan is the Spanish Pete Maravich.
But he's from Spain. But Ricky Rubio is from Spain.
I was thinking, is he from England?
He's from Spain.
That's why that show is hilarious, because them dudes just say anything and they never really know what they're talking about. It makes the show even better. We should just start throwing stuff around like that and not knowing what we're talking about. We might get better ratings for it. But y'all hear that in D.C., they told your man Flip.
I'm here to tell you, Nino Brown says, your services are no longer needed in the community.
Flip got canned. You know what? I don't think there's a happier person in D.C. right now than Flip Saunders if he's still in the city. He might have bounced as soon as he heard word.
Yo.
He probably didn't even go pack up his locker or nothing.
Yo, Flip is throwing a party. Flip is throwing a party in South Beach right now.
Yo, the last time I saw him coaching, which was against the Sixers the other night, he kept grabbing his forehead as if, like, this piercing pain just kept shooting through his head. He has to be the happiest dude in D.C. right now.
They are pitiful, yo. They're so bad.
You know what's funny, though?
My tickets up for the game, yo. I was like, I'm not even going to watch this spot. I don't even want to see them play.
Yo, they had 95 cent tickets. They had 95 cent tickets on StubHub a few weeks ago. for Wizards.
Dog, the Wizards, are that bad. Yo, I'd rather watch midget porn than before I watch the Wizards, yo. They are horrible.
Midget porn ain't that bad, depending on the.
Whoa!
You get a nice looking. You get a nice looking dwarf in that jump.
Yo. Yo, I got one thing to say about Wizards basketball.
Yo. They should come out to that sound when they announce the starting lineup.
But you know what? You know what's funny? That game that Whitman, their the assistant took over as the interim head. That game, they were up winning by 20. So that's proof that they just stopped listening to my man Flip. They stopped giving effort.
Not really. I mean, they definitely stopped listening to him. But what team doesn't win when their interim coach has his first game? That's like a given in sports. They rally around them for one game, and then the next game they trash again. They're gonna be getting blown up.
Yo, is it me? I don't know if it's because he's playing with a bunch of slop, but John Wall looks like he didn't get any better.
He didn't. It's because of that.
How can he?
A point guard's job is to facilitate. Yo, he doesn't have anybody to facilitate to. Yo, Rashad Lewis makes me angry. He just angers me. First of all, you're coming off the bench at $22 million. You're coming off the bench. Andre Blotch is an idiot.
You called him Android.
Android Blotch.
Android Blotch. No, but that's not their fault. Cause Andre Blotch has always been an idiot. He's always been a little immature. You know, he and Gilbert was going back and forth with the pranks, and Gilbert put, like, doo-doo in Bull's shoe. And I don't know what he did back, but
nothing.
He doesn't work out. The boy got, besides the doo-doo in his shoe, he got the doo-doo in his body in the NBA for a big man. He doesn't work out. Like, they made him team captain and gave him a hefty extension, though. So where do you put the onus on that? That's Ernie Grunfeld making those decisions. Like, you don't have to keep this dude around for extra years, for extra money, and make him team captain. That's just,
how
like,
your team Kelly? Captain don't work out, though? Unless he's Prince Fuller, you can't have that.
Yo,
that's
team
just bad as Antonio
like
Holmes being team captain.
I know, right?
Bad as Antonio Holmes. Man,
that was
Antonio worked out with the jug machine or something. Like, this ball just...
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, the only thing positive about the Wizards season is watching John Wall go to the basket, tick off the right foot, and bang it with the left hand. And I've always wondered, man, he's right-handed. Why do you like banging with the left hand? That's like the best thing you see.
Yeah, but you don't see that too often no more. It's like, yeah, I'm telling you, it looks like he just hasn't gotten better at all. He's regressing. Cause,
yo, it's regression. It's regression as far as his game is concerned. It's regression for Nick Young. It's regression for JaVale McGee. Yo, JaVale McGee looks like he takes counseling from Andrew Blotch.
JaVale McGee!
Yeah. You know what, though?
Someone saw oops when they down by a million. He was only down by six. I'm exaggerating, but JaVale's still
done
like
some immature stuff, and they killing him in D.C. for it on sports radio. I was thinking, though, and Nairan and I were talking about this last week. That's our Philly sports correspondent. If you guys don't know, Nairan Mercer. JaVale McGee would probably fit in with a team like the Sixers. Like, they probably could really use an athletic big like that with the style of play, you know, that they have.
He could definitely fit in. The
yeah,
only problem is, how far gone is he at this point? You know, sometimes you play with slop like that for a while.
That's why they need
to
hurry up. I mean, because for a player who's not, you know, he's definitely playing off of athleticism right now. You know, he's not totally skilled. He puts up some pretty good numbers on this team. I think if you get him in a situation with a better team, with a better atmosphere, you know, he could end up being a really good player. But yeah, you got to stop throwing alley oops to yourself when your team like 1-12 and you're down like a dog.
They got to play up and get him before he ends up like DeMarcus Cousins.
All right, so I'm gonna work that out. I'm gonna call the Sixers front office and try to get that started.
Yeah, tell them that.
I'm gonna call, you know, because we know JaVale's people. We're going to get them to talk to his agent. We're going to work this out. The war room, we do transactions now. We facilitate trades. Watch out for it. Y'all need our services, call us. All right, we got some contract extensions. Kevin Love, affectionately known as White Moses in the war room, got an extension 4 years. plus million. And to get the deal done, they had to give him a player option in that last year. So they got him to stick around. I think Ricky Rubio might be a part of the reason why he decided to stick around. The team is really exciting to watch. They just got to learn to put together and win some games now. Danilo Gallinari, former Knick, now with the Nuggets, he got a 4-year, $42 million deal. What do y'all think about these two contracts? I mean, there's nothing to say about Love. He deserves
Love. Kevin Love has signed a deal that makes him underpaid. Danilo is he's on par for what his production is. He's a very, very poor man's Carmelo Anthony, essentially.
Yeah, he averages almost 18-6, so to get a little more than $10 million per. I mean, if we look at some of the deals they gave out in the last CBA, a lot of people making $10 million per, those are like the single-digit averaging dudes. So, yeah, I think it's a pretty good deal. Dude can play. He's more than just a shooter that a lot of people thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. He's a lot more. Yo, dude has a nice, nice handle for his size.
And he's trying.
I saw him hit somebody with a Pooh Allen the other day.
He probably did that by mistake, but he probably lost the ball and tried to pull it back. Like, so
it's funny you say that because I saw on our Facebook page earlier today, John Carroll was talking about how they're getting ready to offer Eric Gordon a max deal. And I'm like,
I'm an Eric Gordon fan, but come on.
He turned his deal down. He turned an extension down with the Hornets. So
he thinks he's worth more in a better place.
No, I don't think. I think he wants to go to a better place.
Exactly. So Stern blocking that trade. Like the Timberwolves pick is about to be either at the bottom of the lottery or they may sneak into the playoffs. Who knows? But it's looking more and more like that Laker deal might have been the better deal at this point.
Yo, I wouldn't give Eric Gordon a max deal on 2K12. Like, he's not a max player. Like, he definitely is not a max player. I mean,
Eric Gordon is a great third guard on a top two team. You know what I mean? Like, coming off the bench on a top two team.
Lou Williams type dude. He's a Lou Williams type dude. Never saw a shot he didn't like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just score with the best of them.
Hopefully he's out of the studio, unlike Lou Williams, because I saw a new Lou Williams video today. I don't want to get into that, though. Anyway,
So let's talk about Dirk for a second. He's missing four games, and, you know, it's about his conditioning. But
have you ever heard of a star missing four games from beer drinking?
But Mark Cuban also tried to say it has something to do with a sore knee that he sustained while trying to help Germany qualify for the Olympics, which they failed to do. And, you know, he had this whole – he's complaining now about them – they shouldn't let NBA players that are under contract play internationally for their countries during the summer. But we can get into that whole topic another time because we can do a whole segment on that. So what do you have to say about Dirk, Austin? I see that you.
I think that the dude is. I've never seen a top flight, top tier star in any professional sport essentially have to shut it down mid season to get in shape because of beer drinking. A part of your job is to be motivated to come in to camp in some sort of shape to be able to kill. That's why you're a top flight, top tier player.
I hear what you're saying, and I'm not trying to give him an excuse, but how many times do we see a player, one, and a team win a championship in a year where nobody even thought about them in the beginning of the season and scratching the surface to be anywhere near a championship?
Yeah, that dude, but that's
he went back.
That's not even really relevant to my point. Because my whole point with him is individually, just as a man, as an NBA player, as a top flight level type player, for him to be so out of shape that you have to shut it down. And I personally think that knee thing is an excuse. You have to shut it down because you're not in shape enough to run up and down the court.
Yeah, like they said that during practices, Jason Terry would joke with the dude, talking about, yo, we should amnesty you. he said he was playing that bad in practice that Terry used to, he was
A couple shows ago, we talked about it. Like, yo, we said something looks wrong with Dirk. Like,
yeah.
He's not himself. We kept joking about him partying too much. But the fact of the matter is, why not just reduce his minutes? Why, like, just sit? I agree with Austin. Like, yo, you're sitting out for. Shaq came in all kinds of out of shape. He just got in shape.
I definitely agree with y'all. But sometimes
you
think so much the same. Somebody got to play devil's advocate here because the people who always want to challenge us be scared to call into the show. So I'm there.
Hey, I got something. Hey, yo, Dev, I got something. Being close to the situation down here, they basically, the knee injury came from him compensating from being out of shape. So therefore, they said, okay, let's take this time off. And they said he was in good shape, but he wasn't in the shape that he came in the last 13, 14 years with, because he normally just plays basketball and works out nonstop all year round, supposedly harder than anybody else other than Kobe. And this year, with playing for Germany, winning the championship, going deeper in the playoffs than they're used to going, and then having the lockout, that just kind of threw off his whole schedule. So he's in shape, but he's not in his September, October NBA season shape. So that's screwing with what he's used to, how he's used to performing.
You started messing with some black women too. Never mind.
with them wagons dragging. He need a lot of energy to get it up. I mean, personally, I just think, like, even coming from Jason Terry, because I know Jason Terry's work ethic. Jason Terry takes pride in the summertime in destroying 18, 19, 20, and 23-year-old cats. That's how he stays in shape. So I can imagine how that went down in practice with him talking ish to Dirk. And what kind of shape are you in if you don't come in to camp in the same shape that you normally come in? I can't give him the excuse, well, he was in shape, but he just wasn't in his usual. Nah, dude was out of shape. Dude's out of shape.
Well, he can, like, Shaq and just fake an injury for the first half of the season.
And I'll give Jimmy's man Shaq this. Dirk ain't the type of athlete that Shaq was in his prime. Shaq could be out of shape. Shaq was just that much of an athlete. Dirk ain't that type of athlete.
Shaq used the season to get in shape for the playoffs. Like, yo, the games were literally a workout. Did y'all see Dirk last night, though? He looked like he still was drunk.
How did he get a microphone on the bench?
He got a microphone at the game and started screaming like it was an and-one game.
Yo, he jumped up like, oh, shut it down.
I said, yo, am I watching and-one or the Mavericks game? And, like, is he still drunk? Is he still drinking?
Yo, they're so bad. Yo, it's so bad with Dirk. Think about this. They have to now get Sean Marion to go back to the Sean Marion of 2005.
Yeah,
30-point. They're getting 30-point games out of Sean Marion. Sean Marion probably figured, yo, I'm never going to score 30 ever again in my career.
You know what?
And now they got to
see. I don't think we ever.
Reach my hair and be content.
I don't think we ever should hold Dirk in that high esteem again, because I don't think Dirk's ever going to give you what he's given you in the past 4 or 5 years, because there was so much pressure on him and his legacy to win a championship, and I really don't think he thought he was going to do it. I think he's pretty much like,
you think now that he put that performance together, he's going to let it back go, like, all right, I'm done now.
He's about to Derek Coleman it now.
I think I agree with that, Jeff.
I don't think we can even think that Dirk's ever going to work as hard or play as hard as he did last year. It's over.
But that's what separates the good from the great. That's why guys like Kobe and Mike, like, yo, and Tom Brady, these dudes act, they're still hungry.
Yeah.
And that's what separates the good.
I got to agree 100 with Jimmy.
No, I agree. I definitely agree. But, you know, them dudes, they had different kind of talent and teams where, you know, you knew they could run off more than one. Nobody even thought the Mavericks would win. Like, seriously, how many of us picked them dudes to be in the finals?
Yo, I picked them to lose to Portland. I picked them losing the first round in 6 games.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the kind of picks they were getting from people. So, and you know, it's rare to have those type of cats Jimmy mentioned, you know. Kobe's and Mike's don't grow on trees. Them dudes just –
I mean, this
crazy.
Is true, but it's like it's not even just tops of them. You see guys like Dwayne Wade still acts like he wants it. But, I mean, we pretty much are saying the same thing. Like, He got his, and they seem to be satisfied. Like,
I just watched Michael Jordan on some outtakes from reruns of Damon Wayans' show, My Wife and Kids, earlier today. And they were playing one-on-one, and it was, like, serious. And
yeah.
Man, Damon Wayans was about to rumble over a one-on-one game.
No, you saw Kobe was, like, checking it out with Bow Wow. And start.
Yo, he was, yo, why was he playing Bow Wow like that?
Because Bow Wow was
playing Bow Wow like a serious, like, playoff game.
You know why? Because he not only wanted to take his money, he didn't even want to do it to score. Matter of fact, I think he gave him 9 points, and the game went to 10. So Kobe would have had to go into his wallet if he'd have let dude score once.
Yo,
Kobe had to score
10
before Bow Wow scored once. And Bow Wow think because he got cast for a basketball movie and he played in a couple celebrity games that he was going to be able to get a bucket on Kobe, and he found out, you know, with the NBA is
over. But I'm just saying, like, if you're on the Mavericks or a Mavericks fan, you have to be highly disappointed. Like, you know, he's pretty much just sold y'all out. Like, the team in general, like, how are you selling tickets down there when y'all got rid of y'all two best defensive players? Y'all didn't get rid of them.
I never.
They're content, man. I don't think it's just Dirk either. I think that team is content, man.
Jason Terry ain't content.
We got us.
They got the
I never agreed.
Last name was Ring Night, too.
Sean Marion is an
Yo, I never agreed with Jimmy when you used to call Dirk a big international tender chicken hawk. Now, I agree with you.
And it's funny because after last season, people kept coming at me because I've been calling Dirk that. But the thing about it is I was only saying that because, you know, he has the talent. It's sort of like the same thing with LeBron in the fourth. It's like, yo, we see all the talent and we talk about you basically because we think that you can be better. You know what I mean? We think you could be one of the greatest.
Yeah, other people don't understand that, you know.
They don't get that.
They just
want to
tell these guys what they are before they even earned it. Like, you're the greatest since sliced bread. You don't have to earn it because I said so and, you know, that kind of stuff. But before we move on.
I need a hero, and you're my hero.
Before we move on to football, the Super Bowl, did y'all see the Clippers and Lakers game last night?
Yes, sir.
Yo, I couldn't go to sleep on the game. Because it was so chippy, I thought a brawl was going to break out. So I made sure I stayed up to watch the whole game.
Man, listen.
What did y'all think of that?
Man, listen. You can act tough if you want. You can be big and strong and muscle-bound. But when you're on the court with Ron Artest, because his mama named him Ron, and I'm going to call him Ron. If you're on the court with Ron Artest, you know what lines to cross and not to cross. The only one of them Clippers that would have got out of pocket is Chris Paul. Them dudes they don't want it, man.
Yeah,
I have a problem with that.
Ron Artest has so many cheap shots, and, yo, Cats around the league don't mess with him. Like, I watch Lakers games, he plays dirty, and, like, Cats, they look up and see it's him and be like, oh, all right.
Yeah,
I'm
cool. Yeah,
I'm
going to
Did you see that? Did you see that play when he fouled Chris Paul hard and Chris Paul jumped up? Like he was going to do something, and he saw that it was meta, and he just, like, walked to the top.
No,
I have a problem with that, too, though. Chris Paul acts like he's one of the toughest dudes ever, anywhere. Like, it's one of those things, like, if you're a star quarterback, if you're a star point guard, you know any beef you get in, the big dudes are going to come, you know, surround the situation real quick. And he knows that. So you know, he plays the tough role a little bit. I don't want to see too much balance in the game, but I wouldn't mind somebody putting Chris Paul to sleep real quick. Just for sometimes you got to learn, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to learn. Like stop acting tough because these dudes probably don't have your back if it gets real with somebody like QB, with Meta.
Do you remember the first game when Meta Straight almost flipped over? He almost, like, flipped over. Blake Griffin almost broke his arm and just threw an elbow at Chris Paul's head, and ain't nobody say nothing.
Yo, I think that a lot of these cats in the league try and act like they're tough, act like they're street. Ron Artest tries to act like he's not street. Like
no, and that's exactly what it is.
He's from Queensbridge.
Dude will do things like get in an interview and say, yeah, I went to the zoo and I pet animals. See, I'm a regular person. I'm not, but, yo, they know, yo, dude got an imbalance.
Yeah.
Yeah, my man got the whole league choked.
But now just think about it, though, y'all. Think about how many times you just remember Chris Paul looking up at somebody with the meme.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he acts tough.
Oh, yeah, he acts tough. He is very chippy. He's very chippy
yeah,
and always trying to act tough.
He
got a chip on his shoulder.
You have to play that way, though.
Yeah, but somebody, you can play that way, but you don't have to act, you know. He acts like that, like, okay, after this whistle blow, you know, I'm going to get in your face like it's going to be something. Somebody need to Kermit Washington
yeah.
ass real quick.
Well, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gives, like, the stare downs and the look. He's just more than the way he plays. He'll give you, like, the stare down or the looks or, like, talk the little S-H-I-T
Yo,
here and there.
On the humble, if it wasn't Gasol, I'd have took that whole interchange like Gasol really just sunned him. Like, yeah, whatever.
He
did
something.
He
like,
mad
he patted him on his
Paul
head.
Mad as hell.
Yo, Chris Paul, after he got his head patted, he, like, grabbed Gasol's hair. Like
yeah. yeah.
But did you read it?
Yeah.
He kept telling Kobe that Gasol was soft. Like, man, you soft, man.
Yeah, Chris Paul's hilarious. Man, you be doing that stuff, too.
I know, right?
I know.
Oh, yeah. About your boys in the hood.
Man,
all right,
Jim,
you want to talk real quick? If anybody wants to call in on any of these topics we're about to get into football, you can call us at 323-410-0012. And if you want to know anything else about our company or our show, just visit our website, warroomsports.com. Jimbo, you got it.
No doubt. Let's talk some pigskin. The first thing I want to bring up is this. Everybody's favorite commissioner, Roger Goodell, a.k.a. Dumbledore. His contract has been extended through 2018. Good move for the league.
I mean, you can't argue with his numbers. I mean, a lot of players don't like him. He came in, tried to clean up the league. You know, was kind of a dictator, if you will. But, I mean, I don't know if it's him. Because the NBA might be an entity that can just stand on its own right now as far as revenue. But, you know, numbers,
you mean
are all top high, revenues are crazy. So, I mean, I guess. Why not?
He's doing his
no
job.
Yeah. I mean, he's also trying to make it the flag football league. So, damn, I'm watching the Carolina game. Somebody's got banged
right.
up.
The Raiders, next story real quick. The Raiders hire a new head coach. The Broncos defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, is going and now becomes the Raiders head coach. I don't trust him anyway. I never trust somebody with two first names. But Dennis Allen is the Raiders' new head coach.
Must be with your arch rival, Jim.
Yeah, how about that? That's kind of corny. But we did it to them with Mike Shanahan. So, but the thing about this is it's kind of a departure from, like, Al Davis. Al Davis, the last, I think, defensive coordinator he hired was John Madden.
Yeah, because
so
yeah,
it's kind of like the team's moving in a new direction. Anyway,
he would like to hire
John
Madden if he
could. John Madden, last time he won. So, why, put it together.
How about that? Anyway, man.
Yo.
Huh?
First of all, I was going to say they should have never got rid of Hugh Jackson. I think Hugh Jackson had them cats playing better than people expected, and then it kind of, if Jason Campbell didn't get hurt, you know, the Raiders probably would have been a playoff team. They would have won that division.
Yo, whoever gave all that money to Carson Palmer should have been looking for a job. I don't know whether Hugh Jackson had anything to do with that.
I think Hugh did because he used to be a Bengals coach.
Yeah.
He should have
coached
up.
Pretty well, but he wanted the personnel duties too, and that he shouldn't have got those.
Yeah, he should be fired. If he brought in Carson Palmer, if he had anything at all to do with that, he should be fired. Anyway.
Hey, Jimmy, real quick with personnel, we realized if Mike Shanahan wasn't in charge of personnel, he would still be in Denver. That's what kind of messed him up. Like, he was a great coach, but he was screwing with the personnel too much.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it happens with a lot of coaches. A lot of people want to be Big Tuna, but everybody's not Big Tuna.
Because he wanted
Andy Reid
to bring in. He wanted to bring in me and PJ and get 1,000 yards on the ground.
Yo, let's briefly talk about the conference championships. We don't have to, like, really give our Super Bowl predictions because it's like 8 weeks in between.
Oh, Jim, they told me to tell you about them other two hirings.
Oh, yeah, it's more coach hiring.
Greg Schiano from Rutgers, he's the new Buccaneers head coach. And Chuck Pagano, the Ravens defensive coordinator, is the new coach in Indy. So they're going defense in Indy.
Pagano's.
So we can talk about that in the Peyton Manning segment because that might be more bad news for Peyton. But go ahead.
Yeah,
Ray Lewis got Pagano that job.
Yo,
sometimes these coordinators that everybody thinks
the Ravens like Marvin Lewis and
yo, I got four. My count is four. Pagano, Marvin Lewis, Nolan, and Rex Ryan. That's four.
If you play with Ray, you will get your pay.
Yes. That's the thing. Things are so knee-jerk with the league. Like, I guess if you come out of the Ravens, if you had anything to do with leading that defense coaching-wise, you basically got you a job somewhere.
Even though they play for Ray Lewis. I don't know why people keep calling.
Exactly.
With Harbaugh's success at the, San Francisco, now everybody wants to get the hotshot college coach, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine, based on my lifetime, I can't imagine a Rutgers team being good enough to get a coach hired. That's like having Temple players in the NFL. It's like unbelievable.
Yo, Temple got, what's the name?
Temple
was
kind of nice. They got multiple NFL players in the league.
It's just still like surprising to you.
The boy Muhammad, somebody from the Jets, the D lineman boy was from Temple.
There's a lot of Temple players that made it to the league. You know what I'm saying? But I understand what you're saying. You're saying that Rutgers, you don't think of their program as being like one of the bigger programs. I mean, they have a good football program.
It all started with the Ray Rice years. They've been on a roll since.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I mean, you can make it out of Jersey. Anyway, let's talk about the championship game.
New Jersey Drive.
The Ravens, Patriots, and Giants, 49ers. What do you guys think about the way the Ravens and Patriots game played out?
I think that Lee Evans should be shot and banned from coming back to life.
No, those are the thoughts of the Austin and not the war room.
Hard and feathered.
Don't blame Cundiff because kickers are almost less than human beings to begin with, let alone football players. Lee Evans, you had both hands on the ball. Catch the GD ball. Catch.
You know what though? But he was really trying to make a one-handed catch. He was trying to be fancy with it like that catch he made last week. He could have put his other hand on the ball tighter and he would have been good.
And he could have went down when he caught it, too. Like,
exactly.
You can catch that and just go down versus trying to be cute. And a lot of times receivers in those patterns, they try not to give the D-back any indication to put their hands up to be prepared for a ball. So they'll wait to the last minute to even bring their hands up to catch it because the D-back sometimes are waiting or, you know, looking at their hands or looking at their body positioning or whatever to see when the ball's going to get there.
You saw what I saw, PJ. But Lee Evans was trying to duck that hit that was coming and put one hand up and tried to run away from the hit. Just catch the ball.
He even got into his hands and to his body. He just got it slapped right out of there.
That was the best pass that Flacco has ever thrown in his life. And the ball dropped.
Flacco. You know one man lose that game. They win as a team and they lose as a team.
So, in y'all, and I know, right? In y'all opinion, who's the bigger goat in that game? Is it him or Cundiff?
To the casual fan, it's going to be Cundiff. To the casual fan, it's going to be Cundiff. To us and those that know, it should be Lee Evans for not making a play that a professional wide receiver in the NFL should make.
That was a great defensive play, though.
It was a great defensive play.
Or the coach had to call the timeout before the kicker kicked the ball.
Yeah, he had to run onto the field. He shouldn't have to run if you have a timeout.
Could it be Harbaugh?
And I understand the whole timeout thing, yo, but he shanked that jaw so bad. Yo, they could have gave him a half hour to get ready. it wasn't even close. Like, that was so bad.
Yo, your man kicked that ball like he didn't have his glasses on.
And the laces were a little bit
outside. He got LASIK in one eye. He got LASIK surgery just in one eye.
Yo, the laces on the ball weren't down the middle, but the way they were facing, he should have missed it right. How do you
bad of a kick it was. It's like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you have one job as a kicker. The joint was like a 31-yard.
Job. Say it again, brother. Say it again. You got one job.
That's your point. Yo, he was shook daddy. That's all it boils down to. And the funny thing about
he missed the extra point.
Nobody talks about him until they call shoot a game. Because think about all the Super Bowls the Patriots won. They was winning on their kicker's leg. He was clutch.
Yeah.
Adam.
Mm-hmm. Adam's going to go to the Hawks.
All right, let's talk about Kyle Williams. I mean the Niners and the Giants.
Well, I mean,
he
gets
death threats. His pop
threat.
Said he's sending any death threats.
Family and seed.
Yeah. That comes with the – I think now with social media, you know that's going to happen.
Yo, I was
social media is crazy. So social media is crazy because we actually have a recording of one of the death threats, yo. I swear. I don't know how it got out there, but I'm going to play it real quick.
Yo. Yo. Hello?
Don't say face.
This is Kyle.
Kill you, motherfucker. Hello?
Whoa. I mean, we got a sense of that one. That joke was crazy.
Yo, that's the best death threat ever right there.
Yo, but why the fuck are you saying, why your wife going to be playing on your phone like that?
No. Faith. He was mad, too. Faith.
Oh, like that. Faith don't even come across as immature enough to be breathing like that on the phone. Come on, let me talk about some
bird.
Oh man, that's the best.
Man.
That's the
Kyle
best
Williams,
death threat ever.
Poor Kyle Williams, yo.
Yeah. So, what do you think about his thing? I mean, was he doing his job, or should he have been like the Giants returners and just making sure he caught the ball, fair catches? He was kind of trying to be a hero. Kind
he shouldn't even have been in the game at that point. After the first,
I blame it. I blame this.
The one
I blame
that
this on
late,
the coach.
That was...
I blame it on the coach. He's not their regular return man. He's not even their regular backup. For some Hunter, the backup running back Hunter is actually their backup punt returner behind Ted Ginn on the depth chart. So the question becomes, why wouldn't you have Hunter in the game to just fair catch those punts? Especially considering you're up four. Fair catch him and do what you do. Instead, you put Kyle Williams in there who was shook, daddy, nervous, and I don't know what. And this is what we have.
No, I was going to say real quick, just like what Brad was saying, if for whatever reason you had to have dude in there, Kyle Williams in there, yo, he should have instructions to only fair catch it. Like, don't try to do nothing. Either fair catch it or get out of Dodge. It's a grenade when it hit the ground, so get away from it or catch it. Like, I mean, or fair catch it, that's it.
I'm thinking Harbaugh, since he just came from college, you know, he's probably, from what we hear, he's like a player's coach. Players love him and everything. He probably was trying to get the dude's confidence back up by giving him another chance, and that backfired. Like, look, man, he made a mistake. This is the NFC Championship. You make a mistake, you're done. Talk to you next
week. Yeah, and the thing with that is, too, the thing with that, it's not like he's one of them dudes that's like a super bencher or super special teamer. Dude's like the second or third receiver on the depth chart, so he gets on the field. Yo, go do your thing with the first team. Leave the special teams alone, man.
Yeah, but their receiving core is feces, so that's not really saying too much.
Yeah. Yo, is Michael Crabtree overrated?
I didn't know he was rated.
Yo. He never even does anything. Like, what's up with that? It's like, all you do is get him out of the hole.
No, I'm kill. He drops balls. He does drop balls. Balls.
Well, at the same time, remember we talked about it last week? Like, could Alex Smith possibly repeat the type of performance he had at the end of the game last week? And the answer was no. I mean, seriously, the dude.
No.
First of all, he's terrible throwing on the move. Every time he was running and throwing the ball, he did a McDab. He chucked into the turf. So, and they were, you know, the Giants are going to put pressure on you. They're going to flush you out. They're going to make you run. They're going to make you move. And it seemed that, I don't know, because I don't watch him enough to know if that's a weakness all the time, but last Sunday, he could not throw on the move, and it really hurt his team. Where did they go, like 1 for 13 on third down conversions?
Yeah.
So that, it comes back to that. I mean, even though Kyle Williams is the GOAT of the game, you know, you look at stuff like that, like it didn't have to come down to that type of.
Yeah. No, you're certainly right. Whenever a team is 1-for-13 on third down conversions, you can point to that. You can certainly point to that.
Yeah.
I think his performance in
the receivers were not playing. Yo, Crabtree had a clean jersey at the end of the game. Like, he didn't even play.
It wasn't raining and muddy up?
No, it was raining and muddy, and he still had a clean jersey. That's what I'm saying. Like, yo, there's so many things you can point to with that team.
Yo,
and, you know.
Is this the emergence of Vernon Davis? I mean, is he nice now or anomaly or what?
I mean, he's always been nice. There's never been a question of his talent. But
he's just doing it on a bigger stage now.
Yeah, pretty much. And,
I mean, his production used to be kind of inconsistent. But, you know, we don't know if that goes on him or the quarterback.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Like I said, once it happens on the big stage, everybody notices.
Did you see when he got penalized for jumping on the drone next to the camera?
Yes.
And they said
he got jumped down real quick when he
has been grandfathered in.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Just because it's tradition.
Say this again, hold on. What did you say, Jim?
They said the Lambo people
grandfather. He jumped up on the podium, John. So the Niners coach was saying that's no different than knowing Lambo Leap. They said the Lambo Leap has been grandfathered in.
They're just saying it's such a tradition that, you know, they accepted it. But I don't really think that's the same as a Lambo Leap, seriously. But
he jumped up on the job. I don't think that's a penalty. I mean, in that case, like when people come to Philly, if we beat their ass, is that grandfathered in?
If we do it enough, it might ultimately be grandfathered in.
The way people talk about it, you would think it is.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the same thing. I don't know if he should have got a penalty because he didn't do what Chad did that time. He didn't go up there, grab the camera, and start rolling it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Yo, let's give a shout-out to both defenses in that game because, yo, the Niners' defense is absolutely something special.
No, Carlos Rogers nice, ain't he? You hear me, Jimmy? Carlos Rogers nice, ain't he?
Yeah.
No.
You still ain't going to give him his props, Austin?
No, he locked up on Victor, and I saw too much of that little Hispanic gentleman salsa and catching.
Yeah, he was locked up on
Hispanic Jerry Rice, man, but chill.
They weren't switching sides.
I know, they put Victor on whatever side he was going to be on.
Nah, that's not true.
The Niners, like, they definitely were, like hitting. Right? And they were, like, knocking each other out the game. Like, they were hitting everybody. Anybody come close to the football is getting smacked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why'd they drop Eli back 58 times in that game?
Yo, that's crazy because Eli's a G, man. That's why.
Yo, man, he got smacked around. He kept playing. We've seen, from the city that we're from, we've seen what happens if you get smacked around too much in a game. We saw that in the NFC Championship. Against
many
Carolina.
Times.
Yeah, you know.
Yo,
my ribs
like
hurt. So I'm going to sit this one out and let Coy Detmer finish the game.
Yo, Justin Smith and Navarro Bowman and Alden, they were meeting at the quarterback and deciding what WWE tandem move they wanted to do on Eli. They was DDTing him, pile driving him, and Eli would get up with the same. Yo, Eli would get up with the same autistic face and just keep a straight face.
And we support autism here at the War Room. But yo, check it out. Yo, Eli got one expression though. No matter what's going on, he got one expression. Now, when he wasn't with earlier in his career, everybody made it seem like he was like slow or something. But now it's a cool expression because he balling when he look. You know what I mean?
Yeah, same crazy.
Yeah, you might see me all blue, all red, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
Yeah.
Yo, all
friend
blue,
of the
all
show
red.
Right there, y'all.
Giants colors too.
I know. All
yo,
day, every day.
Yo, that's hilarious. But yeah, Eli, he looked like he had like an awkward childhood or something. Like with those kind of faces, you look like you couldn't make friends back.
Hey, how y'all judging my man's childhood based on his face?
Yo, they probably, but you know what they pop? All they probably did was watch film, like his kids.
Uh-huh.
They didn't know how
Eli
to socialize.
Looked like he was going like, I don't want to no more. I'm tired of watching film.
So he don't know that those faces aren't socially acceptable. Because that's probably the kind of face it makes when you're in the dark watching film and the TV's too bright. That's that kind of thing.
Hey, yo.
In defense of Eli, this is what he might say.
Do you think you look more like E.T. or Gollum?
Am I supposed to get mad about that? Am I supposed to get mad about that?
Jim, you are ugly.
Am I supposed to be mad about that? He sounds like he's ugly. Am I supposed to be mad about that?
Ew.
What the hell
are
we talking about?
Oh, man. But Eli be balling, though. Like, you know what I'm saying? Eli's a yo. Oh, man.
Yo, the Giants offense really is masterful, and you got to give Eli his props. Cause they run three wide receiver spread sets. They just run the option routes with Victor, send the other two down on the outside, and let Eli make it happen.
And they virtually have no formidable running game at all. Like, they don't really – like, they run just to give Eli arm a break at this point. And, I mean, Eli put that team on his back this whole season. And,
DJ, go ahead, bro.
I'm surprised. I ain't going front. I didn't know Eli could get to this level. I didn't think that he was a bum at all. I definitely thought he was a top 10 QB, but I never thought he would be this level, whereas I would take any of the top quarterbacks, I'd put him in, and I'd take him just like I'd take Aaron Rodgers, depending on the situation maybe, what
it
means. But
you cannot smell elite without Eli, man.
He said it earlier in the season, and he ain't tell no lie.
I don't want to poop on Bradshaw because he's gotten his fumbling under control, and he runs hard. But there's another running back on the Giants. There's another running back on the Giants roster.
You call him a running back?
No,
he is trash, Brad. I'm gonna help you. Sorry to be gunning, but he stinks. He's the only 6'2", 335-pound running back that will not turn his shoulders north and south. Why are you running? The only way that somebody can tackle you is if you run to the sideline, and this big dumb idiot tiptoes to the sideline every time he gets the rock.
Yo, but how many times are we going to see him get tackled by one defender?
One person! One dude! You like 350! Come on, big ball! What are you doing? You better watch some Christian Okoye film, man, The Nigerian Nightmare. Please.
Yeah, he's not, he,
all right, my
he,
fault.
He's embarrassing. He's embarrassing to the position, yo. My man doesn't understand what north and south means.
Yo, they need to shave. They need to shave. They need to shave his beard. He don't run like a dude with a beard.
They need to give him a perm.
Yeah, something wrong.
He runs like he got a perm and a lingerie set on under his uniform.
And a penciled in mustache.
In the lingerie league, they go harder than Brandy J.
The lingerie league, he would probably average about 37 yards a game. He runs east and west, dog. They will hit you. Bra and panties, stirrups, G-strings, and cleats. They will hit you. And he will go down. I guarantee you he go down.
I'm going to tell you what it is. Brandon Jacobs at the combine posted ridiculous numbers for a man of his size. So he has legit, like, 4.4 speed, and that goes to his head. So he thinks on every play, well, I run a 4.4, so I'm supposed to bounce this to the outside. I'm supposed to get to the edge. He's still 6'3", so he's not really quick. He's fast. So he don't have
to get out. He's not quick. Right. He doesn't start quickly. By the time he thinks he's getting stuck, he needs 10 yards of open field to get up to that top speed. And it's not always going to happen. And best believe, if it takes more than one person, on the seldom times that it does take him take more than one person to tackle him, he's going to get up talking trash. That's what always,
that's
annoyed me also about.
That's why the run. It was like, F it. We're going to throw the ball 60 times.
Man.
60 times. I'll tell you one thing about that past game. Eli was getting, like Austin said, the Niners front four was meeting at the quarterback, and they were doing, like, road warrior moves on him. So in terms of toughness, like, he proved a lot for me because, like, yo, one John, they showed in slow motion his face, like, looked like he was in so much agony, but he just kept getting up.
Yo, Eli, not that thing when the pressure comes and somebody gets through free, he'll like throw the ball and do a full spin while he's throwing it to turn away from
every
it.
Time, don't he? Always turns away from that. But yo, you know what's crazy about that, Devin? The ball be accurate though.
He be completing it.
Yo, he be completing the job. He be throwing pillows to them jokes.
That's
like,
that's
how he do that?
That's the thing. You know who does that? Blaine Gabbert does that, and he don't know where the ball's going.
He throws souvenirs when he do it.
The Niners run a 3-4, and they had his DN. I know y'all know who I'm talking about, named Smith, the white dude. Yo, why are his pads about the size I put on Jimin? Yo, he has tiny shoulder pads and an extra large helmet. Pause.
They say that the tightest jerseys that you'll ever see are typically on D linemen, and they do that because they don't want to give the offensive linemen any extra material to be able to hold them. A lot of them will say that. That's why a lot of D linemen don't wear long sleeve shirts either, regardless of how cold it is.
Not only is his shirt tight, though, PJ, but his pads are tiny.
They don't want to give you nothing to grab onto.
Yeah, you know how defensive ends like to grab your pads too and hem you up. So he like, these ain't even shoulder pads. I just put some.
Just don't wear any.
He just got a bra on his shoulder. He got a bra sitting on his shoulder. On his tracks.
Yo, he's out there with a bra.
That fool put a bra across his tracks.
Yo,
he got his 4 points there.
And he balls out. I was just about to celebrate a play he made on Eli's sack when they punted and your man Kyle fumbled.
Yeah.
Right as I was typing, I was like, Justin Smith gets it in. Oh, fumble.
Yo, man.
You see the Giants D-line? Like, they're, the way that that's ridiculous. But anyway, man, let's talk about this, though. Me and Austin were talking last week about Peyton Manning versus Eli. I'm just going to ask you guys a question. Of course, I know everybody's going to say Peyton is the better quarterback. But with that being said, is it even arguable at this point? And if not, what could Eli do to make it arguable?
That's a double dribble.
Yo, you heard it from the brother, Jimmy. That's a double dribble to even bring that up.
You don't think it's not even possible that he can ever be in the realm of his big brother? I mean,
let me put this on the Facebook page, because when we put it on there, I bet you some people are gonna think that I'm taking a certain side that I'm not about to take.
I think it's arguable, Jimmy, and I will concede. I would say at this pace, if Eli can keep this production up, and Eli can get a couple more Super Bowls under his belt, I think that it's arguable. But here's the difference, and here's the thing. There's no one player that I've ever seen mean that much to a 53-man team. It's like if you take even Brady, and Brady is bar none Hall of Fame. Brady may end up being the greatest of all time. But you take Brady off of that team, and you still have a competitive 11-5 type team. You take Eli off of the Giants.
Brady has some stinkers, too, that we overlook because he already has 3 bowls. But I mean,
I've never seen
a human being play football or the quarterback position the way that Peyton Manning is able to do. The amount of responsibility that he takes on and still performs is just insane to me, because his tools that he has, his teammates, they aren't good, dog.
Let me make my case. I'm not saying Eli is better, because the funny thing is, when I bring this up, people say, you're hating on Peyton. I think that Peyton is.
No, and I'm an Eli fan.
I think Peyton is one of the greatest ever, but I do at times believe that he is overrated. Because when you look at his numbers, even think about his performances, and people like to point out, well, what did Marvin Harrison do, or what did this person do? And a lot of the wide receiver position is dependent, and people like to blame his defense. He never had a good defense, and this, that, and the third.
Ever.
And the thing is, like, I did some research, and, I mean, it's just not true, though. I mean, put it like this. He's had 12 times, right, where his defense has given up 21 points or less. And he is 6-6 in those games. And if you compare that to, like, many of the other quarterbacks, who are considered elite, they just doesn't have that. His numbers in the playoffs drop. I mean, it is what it is. And I heard a great analogy this week, and I think it's kind of true. They said when you look at Eli versus Peyton, it's kind of like looking at A-Rod versus Jeter. A-Rod is clearly the better player. But when it comes to those moments where you need to have one play or you know, a big game, Eli shows up. And it's sort of the same.
You know why I think his numbers drop in the playoffs, though?
Let me respond. Let me respond real quick. Real quick, Dev. Let me just because I think I even know where you're going to go. One of the that's not a fair comparison. You got to educate the people that are listening. Look at the way Peyton's team is structured. And one of the things that I had to concede last show was we all got wrapped up in how much passing is done in the league, and that kind of even started in Indianapolis, the trend to just pass. You're passing. We get wrapped up in the offense. Defense wins chips. Defense is really what sets the tone, and three out of the four teams that we've seen now in the championship games were defensive teams. The Indianapolis Colts are a pass heavy team and always have been a pass heavy team. So when you key in and you run into a great defense that can key in on his targets and receivers, they don't have anything else to win with.
But
there's nothing else
they
can poke
you
in with.
Is, you can say that, but
Eli has a dominant defensive line even.
No, hey, but you know what I was about to say, Austin, it was something along those lines. I think the reason the numbers go down in the postseason is a lot of the same of why the Philadelphia Eagles offensive numbers go down in the postseason, because Indianapolis for a lot of years was kind of based on the big play. You know what I'm saying? They can, but they never were the team to just sustain drives all day. You know, they were kind of predicated on the big play. And once the playoffs start, you know, most of the time you're playing against the better defenses in the league anyway. And a lot of that stuff, that big play stuff, it gets shut down in the playoffs. I don't care who you are, you know, what team you are. They're not going to just let you bombs away all day in a playoff game. I mean, ask DeSean Jackson, ask Mike Vick, Donovan, all them cats. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, you're playing against the teams that got to this point probably have the best game planners, you know, some of the best defenses, so... I mean, but, you know, other people, for some reason, ball out. I don't know if it's
I'm just saying, there's a lot of, like, what I'm saying about Peyton is he is one of the greatest, but I think the analogy in terms of A-Rod and Jeter is right on point, just because Jeter, for all intents and purposes, has never put up the numbers that A-Rod does.
But you're not, I hear what you're saying, but you're not going to acknowledge that point or the previous point, though?
But the point about the defense? Oh, we all know
the point about the defense and the point about
it's
the point
game.
About the big
it's a team game,
and the point
but I'm
about
talking
the
about their individual play. I'm not even talking about
go.
Super Bowl wins.
Hey, I got something. Not to cut you off, fellas, my bad. But I think Peyton can do more, and I think has more natural ability than Eli. I don't think if you put Eli in Indianapolis, he would be able to have the team winning the amount of games and having the runs that they've had. But I think if you put Peyton in New York, I think he can do that. And also, New York's team is built more balanced, where, you know, sometimes they have a tough running game with two backs, and then they can rush the passer with four, and you know, they're good against the run. Even though this year they were up and down, I think Tom Coughlin puts in a more balanced system, so Eli can just go out there. If he has a bad game, they could win. If he has a great game, they could win. So I think, but now it comes down to one game. You know, if you have one game, would you rather have Peyton or Eli? And with me, I would rather.
Call the play. Now do you see why these bitches calling me Manning Eli?
Yo, I kind of hear what you're saying, and that's part of the point. But that's also the reason when you look at Peyton's numbers, why his numbers kind of dwarf. You know, Eli's for that. But in terms of his defense, he's had defenses in the playoffs, like I said, and haven't given up that many points, and he still hasn't played well.
One of the things that happens when you're in the playoffs and you're playing against an offensive juggernaut like the Colts, see, those numbers have context, and they get up on you, then the other team's offense has to get out of character or what their game plan is, and they have to pass. So that makes the Colts defense look a little bit better than it is. because if you have a balanced offensive attack against the Colts, they're not stopping anybody. I love to see Dwight Freeney ball.
And I'm talking about just points given up. I'm not talking about yards. I'm talking about points given up.
No, I'm not talking about yards because ultimately the yards ultimately the yards are going to or they should end up in scores. So what I'm saying is you've got a balance. You got a team where my balance may be a 55-45 pass run or a 55-run, 45 pass. That's balanced. If I'm dealing with the Colts and they're already up two scores on me, now I'm forced to come out of my balance and I'm forced to pass, which plays into their strength, which is getting after the passer. They've got small, fast, turnover-prone dudes.
Yeah.
And so
they're
a little bit
he doesn't play well is what I'm telling you. I'm talking about points given up. When his team holds points to a certain amount.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think I agree with what everybody's saying pretty much. I think that Eli has had, I'd say, more complete teams around him. So I think that, like, Peyton and the Colts being an indoor team, I think Eli's teams would have traveled better as well, like, been able to play in different climates versus where the Colts coming out of.
Yeah,
and the Colts coming out of an indoor track and then playing, like, on the road and in the playoffs and things like that, that doesn't bode well. And like, to what Brad was saying, if the Colts, you know, have gotten up on you and then as a team, you know, trying to catch up with them, you're trying to pass the quickest way to catch up, typically, you put yourself in bad down and distances. So it may make your defense look a little bit better.
Look, that makes
because,
the Colts defense
Yeah, because you're in third and long a lot, so you're not probably as efficient. I'm not saying that.
I'm saying when the Colts hold people to low scores, he's not able to score enough points to win. That's just the bottom line. I'm not talking about no statistics in terms of yardage. And what I'm talking about is I understand why Eli's teams win. I'm talking about their individual play when it matters most.
I'm not talking about their end result. I've always looked at their individual play. No matter how much talent they had, I've always looked at the Colts as a soft team. And, I mean, in some of those situations, Jim, I mean. You can't blame Peyton Manning because the receivers can't get off the line against those Patriots teams. Like, that's not his fault. What are you supposed to do about that?
I mean, you're talking about this one instance of the Patriots teams. What about
the Patriots did that more than once.
The
same year that it happened to the Eagles receivers in Carolina. That one is the one that gets blown up because they changed the rules after that. It's happened more than once.
And it's a copycat league. So once the book is out on the Colts receivers, and we all know, we all are skewed. We're biased towards Marvin. But we all know Marvin is part of the get-down crew. He's getting down. He doesn't like contact. That goes around the league. That's the book on the Colts receivers. Rough them up. Play bump and run. They can't get off the line, and you
As
mess
Ty
up the
Law
time.
And Rodney Harrison. As Ty Law and Rodney Harrison.
That's not Peyton's fault. That's not Peyton. But it does show up in Peyton's numbers.
I'm talking about his particular play, and this is something I'm telling you. I've always told you this. It goes back to Tennessee. The bigger the moment, the smaller he becomes.
Yo, the big guy from NC State just made a whole court shot.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Well,
my head's so big.
I was saying you've always kind of had it in for Peyton. You kind of got a bias against the dude.
No,
so,
I really don't. I think he's one of the top five quarterbacks ever. But at the same time, when it comes to, like, the big moments, sometimes he shrinks. And, I mean,
I can say when he was in college, I could agree with you. But the games that I saw – I've never really seen him shrink. What I've seen is the team that he carries through the season, through the regular season, when that carrying works, that's not something you can do in football. You can do that more in basketball, so it doesn't work in playoff football. There's too many other things that you can take away team-wise where he can perform at a high level, but if his teammates aren't, it's not going to show up.
That's my point. My point is, I'm not talking about why Eli's team's winning, why his don't. I'm talking about his performance in those games. I'm talking about him particularly. I'm talking about even when his defense holds teams.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is you're mistaking his team being shut down for Peyton not performing at a high level. What I'm saying is playing football. If I lock you up, if you have a timing based offense, if the basis of your offense is timing, and I knock your timing off, and the ball is supposed to be in a specific spot, then I'm gonna look like trash. Because why? I'm gonna put the ball where it's supposed to be. It's your job to get off of the jam and get there. That's timing.
I totally get that. But at the end of the day, he's making mistakes, throwing off the wrong foot. I mean, those are things that he doesn't do. He doesn't necessarily do that in the regular season. He makes mistakes when the moment – I mean, he's no different than anybody else. The bigger the moment, I mean, some people can't play under pressure. It is what it is. I'm not saying, but that's why I said that I – like the comparison when someone told me this week, and I was like, "Wow, that's a great analogy."
I'm not gonna slight Eli. I think Eli is good and definitely headed towards greatness in his own right. So I don't want to slight him. No, I don't think he's better than his brother. But his brother is sitting on the sidelines, and it's now Eli's time to shine. So you know, go get him, Eli.
With all this being said, what I was saying is, I think that Peyton Manning has all the tools, is a better quarterback. I agree with exactly what Kill said. But if it came down to one game, the only statement I was making, if it came down to one game for it all, I'm taking Eli. Overall, I think that Peyton Manning, you know, has the tools. But if it came down to one game based upon what I've witnessed and what I've seen, the numbers, I'm taking Eli. Eli has the best fourth quarter stats out of anybody, let alone between him and Peyton.
Yeah, he's definitely clutch. He's definitely clutch. I just think that there's a context to that debate and discussion, and we can't get it twisted about him having a balanced team to run with and teammates that perform. You know, when Marvin and Reggie got tied up with the Patriots secondary, it's like here you have two Pro Bowl receivers that can't do their job. So now
if you look at the offenses, Peyton has had way more weapons. This guy's playing with a Mexican who got drafted in the whatever round that is. Yo, he doesn't have Reggie Wayne, Marvin. Yo, Peyton Manning had two first-round receivers. He played with Edgerrin James. I mean, he's had way more weapons on offense than Eli has.
I guess so. Plexico Burris wasn't a weapon?
Plexico Burris was a weapon.
Okay.
He doesn't have Plexico right now. Plexico was a weapon.
Yeah, but Victor has proven to be arguably the best slot receiver in the world right now.
1,400 yards.
Right now playing, he may be the best slot receiver. But what I'm saying is he hasn't had the talent that Peyton has had. Would you take either one of them over Reggie Wayne?
Would you take Victor over Reggie Wayne?
Now, be honest with me. Would you take Victor?
No,
nah,
I haven't seen enough from Victor yet to say that.
But I won't slight
Victor either. Coming in second year player putting up 1,400 yards in the slot. That's incredible.
Which one of the giant running backs would you take over Edgerrin?
None, of course.
That's my point. My point is this guy has had weapons. People always act like he's played with nobodies. Some years he has, but he's had weapons.
Adai, who he's played more of his time with. Adai is a good back, but he's not high level. He's not better than anybody.
I haven't really heard anybody say that. I've heard people say it when the later years came, like last year, maybe the year before, when he's playing with Pierre Garçon and Colley. Never heard of before.
Yeah, but
you know,
I mean,
so I think what he showed then was it doesn't matter who my weapons are. I'm still going to put up the same kind of numbers. So I'm not going to knock him for playing with people. Because he obviously showed that when the names got a little smaller, his game didn't get smaller.
Yeah, his game didn't get smaller because it wasn't playoffs. That's when his game gets smaller. But anyway, it's time to get out of here. Yeah, thanks for joining us in the war room this evening. Special thanks to everyone who weighed in, everybody on Facebook and Twitter. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get your sports fix for the week. We're having our second annual Super Bowl preview show. By then, I hope you're not tired of all the Super Bowl talk. But anyway, we'll have our preview next Thursday. You don't want to miss that. So until next week, everybody, you know where to find us.
Ooh.
Shit is real right here. Rockefeller. Lock. Take it back. And the streets over, motherfuckers. Don't get it twisted. Yeah. Hey yo, yo, shut the fuck up before I blast. Them banned from TV, yo ass. With no mask, look at the camera like, whoa. Yeah, I did it like a sick white boy in the cold committed. To the death of me, I spaz like I'm on ecstasy. Drop 100 bars for real, like I'm looking for a deal. If I ain't hungry, who the fuck is? I'm worse than a African kid. I ain't straight, so my numbers match the Motorola biz. I walk the streets up and wild like I don't fucking care. If I ain't strapped, that means I took them off my Nikes. Get off mine, y'all talk shit like little children. Wanna ride mine like bitches when I walk up in the building. Cause I catch tans in the winter. With wild horse, jet skiing, while you keep warm at corner stores. I make it hot, flooding your block the best way. Professionally, no find poison in your x-ray. As I get roasted, looking at Biggie posted on my wall. Taking shots to Louis till I fall, nothing to lose. Just load the clip up in the groove and kick rhymes to the poster. So I swear, big move. My team, you would think was on Thorzine. How we floor, so don't give a fuck with this
tall scene. Yo, press the pipe, it's time to apply it now. Pick out a quiet town and tie it down. Make niggas lie it down, y'all know where to buy it now. Beanie Mac, I supply it now. My squad rolled deep and foreign cars with 2 seats. Couple of 5 or 6, a few jeeps. Bagging up coke to last a few weeks. Case niggas wanna test, vest in a few heat. You really wanna test my name and test my game until you have me test my aim? Y'all niggas nuts like Tesla quotes. Hit you up in your apartment building best of you. Breath is best for you to keep on walking. Heat from the knocking, keep on sparking. Platinum, Prezi, Bezzy, stay sparkling. Cop off the lot, never see me at the auction. Pine up a Cardi Dawkins when it's talking. Out on the strip until I reach the margin. Not trying to meet the sergeant at the precinct. Eating cheese sandwiches down for the weekend. Locked up with dirty white boys and reeking.
Now if I kill you, I probably do 10 in the box. Come down on the pill, then I'm killing your pops. You feeling the locks? Nigga, why you grilling the locks? If this rap shit don't work, nigga, still in the spot. You bring it to me, I gotta lose your family. Gangsters don't die, they get chubby and move to Miami. Shit is deep now, dog, but it gets deeper. Fuck it, the weather's nice and the price is much cheaper. I put it on tape, you gon' buy it. I put it in the bag, you gon' try it. Y'all niggas can't deny it. A lot of cats still trying to study my last bounce. Tell you what, get a beat tape in a half ounce. They got me where I can't be without my large gap. Teflon long sleeve and my hard hat. No matter if I'm opening up or headline, doing the speed limit or pushing red line. 6 months in the county or fed time. I'ma be the kiss nigga until it's bedtime. Anything I'm on is a classic. Any nigga ever had beef with, son is a bastard. Anytime I spit acid. LOX, Rough Rider, you heard? We got the game mastered.
I told you the pain was coming, you wouldn't listen. You try to play me like a joke, now who got the last laugh? Now take these bullets with you to hell.
Your motherfuckers are sick, don't think sauce the shit. So many niggas on my nuts, I thought I lost my dick. Picture me falling off, I'm camera shy. Hammers fly, might miss you, but your man to die. What's the difference? Either way, I'm sunning your crew. I fuck the wind, y'all niggas coming to lose. Something to prove? Spit it, we can have a spray off. I lay off whack niggas and kill them on my day off. Ain't nothing for me to bust a tray off. Murder the whole month of April, nigga, just to take May off. Run with more Germans than Adolf. You like crews, now I concentrate on your camp like Jews. Flow hot like a heat wave, bitch. Whips fatter than them shits they beat slaves with. I'm a meal sacking nigga who pull quick. Still packing, before you feel Jackson niggas on that
board. I don't give a fuck who you are, so fuck who you are. I don't care about a pretty bitch, watch y'all car. I don't care about your block and whoever you shot. I don't care about your album and whenever it drops. I don't care about your past, if I did I would've had. I'm too busy lighting bro with a whole lot of hats. As far as this rap shit, I'm 10 steps ahead of niggas shooting backwards, just for practice. Ride or die, nigga, hopping in your casket. About to go to hell with you, blow the L with you. Tell the whole world I'm spitting, let them know the shell hit you. I tell niggas quick, suck dick and get a Glock. My name ring bells like Sunday at 12 o'clock. I'm 7:30, bust 6:10, 11. You know me, slide my man, my joints, they below me. I rough ride and pop a fella for Rockefeller. Screaming,
what the fuck?
Spinning mozzarella.
I know, Pop, you can't stand us, Susie, cop them hammers. Running your crib, no prisoners. Pop your grandma, locked in the slammer? Nope, popped up in Atlanta. Cropped up in the dropper, popped up the antenna. Whoa, watch your manners when my bangs pop like scanners. Like raindrops, you hear the thunder when I cock the cannon. Big things, big change, ain't shit change. Get brain in the 4.6 range. Shit, man.
switch lanes. Every time I hit switch lanes, bitch slip big cane. Flow with no cut, you take it in vain to the brain. Motherfuckers is nodding and throwing up, you know that. You don't want to owe that man, he'll hit you. Get the picture? Kodak man, got a love for war. I don't floss no more, I just sit on my money till I'm above the law. How the fuck you gonna stop us with your measly asses? We don't stop at the tolls, we got easy passes, nigga. Multiple cars and divas with D-classes. Iceberg sweat with IB on the Alaska.
Yeah.
Shit.
Bitch.
What the fuck? You heard me?